said, we went to the spring game yesterday at the University of Georgia. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're starting to get somewhere. You know what I noticed about that thing? There were scads of people there. Everybody before the game had expectations. They were excited. They waited. And, you know, when that team came out, man, people went crazy. And football is still months away. Still months away. But these people were ready for it. They were all ready. Good news, too, Georgia did win the game. So I said Georgia did win the game. Okay, thank you. Trying to get you guys moving here this morning. See, they had an excitement that I want us to have, that kind of excitement when we come to church on Sunday morning. What do you expect to happen here? What are you looking for? What are you anticipating? See, one of the things that I teach in life coaching is this. One of the key elements is you're responsible for you. You are responsible. And so part of that is when you come to church in the morning, see, all these folks up here, they've been practicing since this morning at 8 o'clock and beyond, getting ready for you. But they're not responsible for you. They were responsible for their part. Pastor Buren's got a word ready for us this morning, but he's still not responsible for you. You are. So I want you to engage yourself a little bit this morning and be responsible and understanding that. Listen, anticipation, we are fixing to praise God. I'm going to do it again. We are fixing to praise our Lord. Okay? These folks here are ready to do it. You got to join them, but that's your responsibility. So join in. And then Pastor Buren is going to bring a word. I'm waiting. Pastor Buren is going to bring a word. Man, you guys are a tough crowd. We may have to start this thing over. Are we going to get excited? I mean really excited. Well, let's do it starting right now.
Guys, please rise with us.
Your word and I'm running into your hope. Because I've seen your light, you bring my world to life. I'm coming after your love. I'm not shaking, I'm not letting go. And everything comes alive in my life as we lift you higher. Let your freedom arise in our lives as we lift you up. Sing it out, sing it out. Freedom is here. Your freedom is here. So take a limits off, no matter what the cost. I'm running after your call, and I will run this race, see you face to face. So let your power overflow. I'm not shaking, I'm not letting go. And everything comes alive in my life as we lift you higher. Let your freedom arise in our lives as we lift you up. Sing it out, sing it out. You higher.
Thank you that in the midst of struggle and worry and fear that you can abolish it if we just allow you to, God, just to rest in your peace. I pray that in your presence today in the sanctuary, God, that we can just let go and rest in you. Fill us up with your presence, God. We are here. We praise you, God. We thank you. You are so good.
So take heart, let his love lead us through the night. Hold on to hope and take courage again. Death by love, the fallen world was overcome. All our fear, God, our love.
this is the second Sunday in the month, and we have the sacrament of healing. So if you're here today and you would like the Lord to touch you in any way, spirit, soul, or body, I know I would like to be prayed for this morning for my knee. But if anyone else would like to do that, would you be coming? Just stand across the front. The elders will come and anoint you with oil and pray. Believe God for touch. Sometimes that's all it takes, right? Just a touch. A touch from the Master's hand. Crystal, if you'd come down and stand in for Jared, I'd like to pray for him. Jared is back from South Africa, and he is better. But he's still in a waiting period of some incisions to be healed and to see exactly what will come. But we're just going to agree together with you. And so just join your faith with these people's faith, and let's just believe God together, okay, that he would do what only he can do.
Yeah.
We thank you for the hope and the mercy and the grace you show us every day. Thank you that we can rest in you. We look forward to you. The best is yet to come. We expect great things from you, Father. We love you so much.
Good morning. Where'd everybody go from last week? Golly. Man. We got to make Easter every Sunday. Every Sunday's, from now on, every Sunday's Easter. Just tell everybody that every Sunday's Easter. But I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. I'd rather be here than the best hospital in the world, my daddy used to say, or the best jail in the world. But I want to bless two people right here. 50-year anniversary this past Friday. And been members here for about 30 years, and it's been a joy to be your pastor. You have been nothing but blessings to us. Penny, you've never given me one bit of trouble. You neither, Terry. But you've been an example as a parent. You've been an example as a couple. You've been an example as an elder in this church. You've been an example as a pastor in this church. You've been an example of just what everybody should look for. If they want to see what marriage is to be about, what life's to be about, they need to look at Terry and Penny Doss, because you emanate it in such a beautiful way. And we love you dearly. God bless you so much. Now, Brian, let this be an example to you. You knew I was coming, didn't you? You knew I was coming. Just in a little bit. What, next month? May? In the next month. If you don't believe it, follow him on Instagram. And he's been tracking the days for the last 300-something days. But it's every day. Now, he'll tell you exactly how many days is left. So, Sheena, God bless you. We will be praying for you greatly. You got it. Got it. And it's another guy's birthday today, an awesome man named Will Doss. Yeah. And, you know, some of you don't know the history of this church. Will was just a teenager when he came here. And he grew up in the church, basically, and became a youth pastor for years. And now he's an executive pastor, and he has never given me any trouble. He's just been exactly what you want to see and need. And thank you, Will, for being everything that you are. And God bless you on your Master's Day birthday. Awesome. Anybody else see a birthday? I don't want to get in trouble. Linda's birthday. 36 years old, and you look exactly 36 years old. You're a great lady. You know that, don't you? You are a great lady, and you've raised some great children, and y'all's future is just going to be absolutely wonderful. Every time I see a post or something, I just have these good feelings. And so just be looking forward to the future. The best is yet to come. Amen. And your blessing, and she's a counselor in the church and does a lot of ministry, so glad that you are here and glad you came. Amen. Anybody else's birthday? Anybody else's anything? Oh, well, Lindsay's last week. Happy birthday last week. And early birthday present. She's gorgeous. We're dedicating her soon. All right, and Mother's back in church. All right. Been most she's ever missed in her whole lifetime since she's been saved was the last 5 or 6 weeks that she's been out. But she's back and ready to hear her son get it on, right? All right, we're going to do that. Yesterday would have been my dad's 95th Earth birthday. Mother told me yesterday, said he could not have stood it, be 95. Said your daddy would not have liked being 95. She said when he turned 70, she thought she was going to lose him, that he just couldn't stand it. I didn't know my dad was that way. I didn't know getting old bothered him that much. But he would have been 95 for Earth years. Now in heaven, I don't know how old he is. He's billions of years old, because he's always been. Come on, how long you guys been here? You've been here long enough. before the foundations of the earth. God knew him before he was ever conceived in his mother's womb. God knew him. And so God looked down on planet Earth 95 years ago yesterday and decided, I'm going to put E.D. Gauss down here on this earth in this woman's belly, and I'm going to bring him forth, and then he's going to give birth to this dude. And so, you know, that's how it works. And so, well, he didn't actually give birth. Mama gave birth, but he had a lot to do with it. So, but I don't know, he's millions of years old. But Ralph, I was thinking about him this morning coming to church. And the vision of this church came full circle. When my dad and two other men started this work, they had a vision that it was really to be a positive work. It really did. And they believed, I'd get up at night, and I'd go and sit in the hall. I've told some of you this story. I'd sit in the hall. There was a little bookcase with a phone sitting on top of it, and I'd sit in a crevice. They couldn't see me because they would talk till 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And I was, as a little boy, was intrigued by listening to them share with one another what they were talking about. I mean, I remember hearing them talk that they really believed you could walk on water. They would talk about just the most marvelous things, and it was all about, because if you could think it, they believed you could do it. And that was way back then. And so this church kind of came full circle back to the original vision of where that God really wants us to understand and what we're to be. Now, let me give you a little update on where we are spiritually and where we're headed in the next few months. We're going to close out the School of Positive Thinking this Wednesday night. It's the last night. And if you weren't here last Wednesday night, you need to get the CD or DVD on ego. Tremendous teaching on ego. Edging God out is what ego does. And so it's a real strong teaching on ego. If you have problems with your ego, take up golf. And your ego will go after a little while if you'll just take up golf. You have really problems with it. But there's ways. We got to deal with ego. And he did a tremendous job of teaching about that. We're going to close out this month think positive. And in May, we're going to do a series on the minor prophets. In June and July, we're doing a summer series on relationships. And we're going to do relationships on marriage, relationships with your children, relationships with your friends. We might even do a Sunday on your relationship with your pastor. I've been thinking about that one, and a little scary to think about it, but I may just look at that and some things like that. But it's going to be a great summer series, so you got some great things to look forward to. Saw this article. It was given to me by Donnie Thurston. Can the power of positive thinking change your life? World leaders, philosophers have espoused personal development. I'm not going to read the entire article, but I'm going to read a few excerpts from it. A positive attitude is one of the most powerful assets you have. Positive people find success, good health, happiness, wealth, and rewarding relationships. The law of attraction is that positive thoughts lead to positive results. Even Gandhi was a strong advocate of positive thinking. He is reported to have said, "A man is but the product of his thoughts. What he thinks, he becomes." Believe that you can become a positive thinker. You must first believe in yourself. You need to interact with people who are on the same journey, whether they are ahead of you or behind you. If they're on the same journey, that's who you need to associate with. Because I assure you, birds of a feather do flock together. And bad company does create bad morals. And so who we associate with, who we are part of our lives, determines a lot. I want to share with you this morning, actually, it's a merger of several things, and I really struggled this week with how to present this, and I have to believe when I get into moments like that it's God, and that there's going to be some people here that need to hear a particular thing. So this is not a a laid out message like I normally do, and sometimes I don't follow laid out messages anyway, so what's new? But point one, two, and three is not going to be quite like that, but I want to share some things with you that, and probably give you a little personal testimony of what some things I dealt with in my life to get to where I am today. There's a great reward for being who you are. Let's say that there's a great reward for being who you are. One great philosopher said that one of the worst things that can ever happen to us is we find ourselves being imitators of other people and not being who we are. There's great reward. God created you to be exactly who you are. Just as there's no fingerprint the same, there's no person like anybody else. You're the most unique individual on the face of the earth because there's not anyone like you. No one. No one. No one's got your makeup. No one's got your characteristics. You're totally different than anyone else. And God has you for that, for a purpose, to be who you are so that you can do what he wants you to do and reach who he wants you to reach. God's got a plan. And it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter where you've come in on this journey. I don't think I have it in these notes, but it was Benjamin Franklin who at way in age, he invented the light bulb, and then he went on and some of his greatest accomplishments at hit. And during his time, the average lifespan was 50 years, and he lived to be 85 years old and contributed it to his positive thinking. And so there's just a lot to be said. Don't let others define you. Do not let other people define you. There's only one person who can define you, and that's your Creator. There's only one person who owns you, and that's your Creator. I've shared this before, but it bears repeating over and over and over again. In the back of your shirt, there's probably something that says who manufactured that shirt. The only person to put a label in that blouse or that shirt or that T-shirt is whoever created it or whoever bought it to sell it. Sometimes you'll see made in China most of the time. And then you'll see somebody else over here bought it. And so China created it. Somebody over here bought it. And so they could put the label in that shirt because they created it and they bought it. Well, God's got you labeled because he created you and he bought you. He created you and later on he bought you back. He paid the price. And so you need to understand that only one person in the universe can define you, and that's God. There's a story in the Old Testament, in Joshua, and when the children of Israel were going to the Promised Land, they sent two spies in, Joshua did, because he remembered what Moses did. Moses sent 12 spies in and got 10 negative reports. Only two came back with good reports, and so Joshua decides he's just going to send two guys in. Well, he sends these two spies in, and lo and behold, they get nightfall comes, and they're in the city, and they need a place to stay, so they go to a harlot's house, and they knock on the door, and Rahab the harlot, the Bible calls her, came to the door, and she hid them in flax on her roof. And the Bible says that they came looking for the two spies, and they said to Rahab, it was told us two men came into your home tonight and that they may be here. And she says, well, they're not here, they left and they went another way. How many know that was a lie? It's up on the roof. But Rahab was defined by a society that she was in, and she was called Rahab the harlot. But when you go to her roof, and there's flax on her roof, then they find out that if you read Proverbs chapter 31, it says that the virtuous woman makes flax for her family. So she told the spies, if I do this for you, then when y'all come, we know you're coming to take this city. We know you're going to be able to do it. We know your God is the most awesome God that there is. So when you come, would you do me a favor and spare my household? And they said, if you'll drop this scarlet cord from your window when this city is attacked, then whoever's in this house with you will be protected. And the greatest miracle of Jericho was the walls falling down and her section standing. Everybody else in the city was taken, but she was spared because she was not Rahab the harlot. She was Rahab whom God defined and not a society defined her. And she becomes the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ. That's a little different twist on Rahab. She was a great woman. Our past doesn't define us. Our past doesn't define us. It refines us. Don't have to let your past define you. You can let it refine you. Now, we're going to talk about some things that, you know, you've heard us talk about replacement thinking. And replacement thinking is something that's critical in positive thinking. And for those of you who may not know what this is, I want to share it with you because a lot of people in here for a long time know what we're talking about. Replacement thinking is when you have a negative thought, then you need to replace it with several positive thoughts. Don't just do away with the negative thought, replace it with some positive thoughts. When you have one negative thought about me, replace it with about 10 positive thoughts about me. And you'll love me much better than if you just think about that negative thing, all right? So, that's replacement thinking. Because God does not create anything to be empty. He created it to be full of something good. And so the man the demons were cast out of said the demons went looking for a place to find. They couldn't. They came back to his house, his temple, his body. And if they found this body, it was swept. Said the house was swept and it was clean, but it was empty. And they went back into the man, and the end of his life was worse than it was before because he didn't replace it with something good. And so replacement thinking is critical. What you think, you know, what you think about yourself means more than what any other person you think about. Because you are who you're with all the time. If you can't get along with yourself, who's going to get along with you? And so what you think about yourself means everything that there is. But there's something that we all have. I just want to share with you today that I've shared before some things about it, but I want to share some fresh thoughts about it. It's a thing called memories. Memories. As used to be an old song, Precious Memories. Used to sing it at funerals all the time, Precious Memories. But how many know there are precious memories and there are bad memories? There are good memories. And there's bad memories. There's good things that's happened to us, and there's bad things that's happened to us. And there are three types of memories. There's sensory. Those are just fleeting memories. They don't really, you know, if I ask you what you had to eat last night, you could probably tell me. But if I ask you what you had to eat 2 weeks ago, you probably really have to think about it, and you might not even be able to recollect what you had 2 weeks. You certainly couldn't remember what you had a month ago, because those are fleeting memories that really don't have a big impact on your life. They're short-term. What you did yesterday, what you ate yesterday, I can remember that. But then there's long-term. These are the memories that shape who we are. These memories, and listen, they are associated with intense emotions, positive or negative. That's just how God made us. 99% of our past experiences are quickly forgotten because they're barely felt. But there are some things in our lives that wasn't barely felt. And let me get this on. We have a brain. And in this brain, there's all these lines. They call grooves. They call memes. Some of those grooves are very light. They're not very deep at all. Those are those fleeting memories that you can't remember. Some of those are a little bit deeper. And those grooves in that brain is things that you can remember yesterday. But then there are things, there are memes in your brain that if you think about what happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, even as a child, if you'll think about that emotion, that experience that you had, I guarantee you, you will feel the exact emotion that you felt 50 years ago. That same emotion. Joy, you still feel that same emotion when you think about that home run you hit winning the game, right? You can feel that emotion. I feel my emotion's not quite that good. I never hit the home run. But I played in the city championship 2 out of 3 games and played against a team that was pretty well matched up. And I pitched against a good friend of mine. He pitched a no-hitter. And I pitched a 2-hitter, and we lost 2-0. And the last out, I'd grounded out to the second. I remember it like it was yesterday. I grounded out to the second, but I nailed it, and it just one hop, just one of those. It just so easy. He threw me out. I went halfway down the baseline, but I'm halfway down the baseline, and I'm bawling my eyes out. I still want to cry today. And that same, I've told this story before. It bears repeating. I hate this guy. I really don't. But we got up in high school, and we'd go out for basketball. And both of us in the 11th grade, I was 5'4". When I went into the 12th grade, I was 5'4". We'd go out for basketball, and his name's Steve, and he was a real short guy too. And coach said, I can't take you both. I just can't take you both. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I've watched you practice. I can't choose between the two of you. Here's the basketball. Y'all go at it. I'll referee. The first one to 20 is on the team. He beats me 20-18. Yeah. All right. Now, I can choose. Now, I chose to do that this morning as an example of how I can have good memories of hitting the home run, or I have the bad memories of this. You choose. We choose what memories to remember. We have the tendency to remember what we should forget and to forget what we should remember. I told a person one time, I said, you got one of the greatest memories I've ever seen in my life. And they said, wow, thank you. I said, you remember every bad thing that ever happened to you in your whole lifetime. I was serious. But he couldn't remember the good stuff. Just, you know, you got good things that happened to you. We've got to choose, because everything in our life, if we'll realize that God is using it to bring us to where we are, everything, say everything. I didn't say some things. I said everything. And unless you believe that, then you're going to miss this morning. I don't care what's gone on in your life. God says, I will take it for good and I will work it out and you will come out a better person no matter what it is. But you've got to choose how you're going to look at your past and how you're going to memory come to you and what you're going to do with it. See, I choose to remember the good things in my life and not the bad. Now, there are some regrets I have in my life that are tremendous. I have one regret that I had to deal with for years, and that was the regret of how sorry a student I was in school. Because this is how I define Buren. You're dumb. You're stupid. You can't do it. And you know what happened? Oh, Ron, I'll preach this. Thank you. I'm teaching you, dude. So because I define myself that way, that's the way that I was. But God, in my school years, was forming me to be who I am today. He was forming me to be who I am today. I couldn't stand doing book reports. I couldn't stand writing things out. I couldn't stand those things. But what I loved, as shy as I was, I loved giving an oral book report. And I had teachers that allow us to, you can either do a written book report or do an oral book report. And I love doing oral book reports. And I'd read a book and stand up in front of a class and share with them that book and them the story, and got A's every single time. Every single time I ever did an oral book report, I got an A. Because God was training me and getting me to the place, getting me to where I am today. And changed my viewpoint. No matter what it was, what happened to me, is he wanted me to see, that's not you. That's not you. I shared with you before, God gave me a great memory to memorize things. And I still remember the four scores and seven years ago, our forefathers brought forth in this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether this nation or that nation can long endure. Oh, that's not all of it. before you clap. There's about four or five more sentences to go. I never memorized, because I memorized that getting out of the car, going into my class. And I got to the class, and I stood up, and I did that, and the teacher said, Buren, what happened? You only lack three more sentences. I said, I gave out a hall. I just gave out a hall. But God was preparing me to be who I am. Now, I choose not to look at what I call dumb, what I call stupid, but I choose to look at God who had his hand on my life preparing me to be who I am today. And he took everything that's ever happened to me and has worked it out for his good, my good, so that my purpose may be fulfilled in this life. Now, I've got some memories, other memories I could tell you, but they're not good, but I choose not to think about them. And if you happen to think about a memory, and it comes to your mind that you really don't want, if it comes, look at it in a redemptive way. Are you with me? Look at it in a redemptive way. Jesus said that God the Father has forgiven our sins. He's cast them into the depths of the sea to remember them no more. Does he forget them? No. Have you forgot the bad stuff you did? No. You don't forget it. You choose not to remember it. When you remember something, this is what you do. You go back to it. You bring it up. And you remember it. You put it back together. And it has the same impact on you that it has years ago. God remembers what you did if you wanted to. He chooses not to. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? And see, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not bringing it back up. Sal, Barbara and I have been married for 40-something years. Is that we choose not to bring it back up. Memories are wonderful. They really are. And I encourage you. I encourage you to look back over your life. Remember some really good things. Remember your first home run. Remember the good things. Remember what mom and dad did for you when they shouldn't have done for you. Choose to remember those good things, and I promise you, when you do, you will be flooded with that same good emotion that you had back then. It will just flood your soul. It will. I give my one good sport memory. I was 13 years old and was the only undefeated basketball team at that time ever had been at the recreation department, was playing a championship game, and they were ahead by 1 point, 37-36, remember it like yesterday. And they had the ball, and it was only 30 seconds left, and they were freezing it, going back and forth, and I was out front playing guard. And I just imagine, if I time it right, when they throw that ball, if I time it right, I can intercept that ball. And that's all I was telling myself, if I time it right. And I kept watching. And by that time, Frankie Goldstein threw it just when I knew it. And I went out there and knocked it down, went down the court, layup, city championship. Remember that one. And you know what? I still feel, I can see myself going up with that layup. I felt myself, I can feel the same feeling coming back down that court. I can feel it right now. Oh, just let me bask in this a minute. Boy, that was, oh yeah, Joy. That's just good stuff. That feels good. Whew. Sorry, Steve Pierce. I'm not going to remember you no more. I'm going to remove that one from me and remember that one. You got some good memories, folks. You just need to pull on them. And you need to choose. I'm just going to choose today. I'm not going to go back and pull up the bad. Our memories are either going to empower us to live by faith, or listen, or imprison us to live by fear. They're going to empower you or imprison you. Our explanation of our own experiences, they're going to shape who we are. You see, we're the ones who put the definition on it. We're the ones who define it. We define it. And so David didn't let his father and his brothers define who he was, because they had defined him. When Jesse came to anoint a king, David's not even there, because his daddy doesn't think David's ought to be there. And he's out in the field. Well, you know what he's doing? He's getting prepared to be the king. Not in the palace and not in a home. He's out in the pasture preparing to be a king. And when a bear comes, he kills the bear. When a lion comes, he kills the lion. What was that doing? Preparing him to face Goliath. And he's able to look at Goliath one day and say, "That, if I can do it to a bear and a lion, you're nothing. You're nothing." And Jesse says, "Is this all your sons?" Now, when you take the sons that were there, and I've looked this up, and you look up every name and look up their meaning of their names, they're awesome. You'd have thought, surely one of these are the king. But God said, no, that's not who I'm choosing. I'm choosing someone in obscurity. I'm choosing someone that you would never think would be the king. That's who I'm choosing. God chooses whom he wants to choose to do what he wants to do. You know why? He's God. And he knows what's best for this world. And so all that happened to David to bring him to a place one day to be anointed king of Israel, because he didn't let that define him. And he didn't let his biggest failure in his life define him. You can't let experiences define you that are bad. They refine you. They refine you. The only person who can define you is you. And you got to decide what definition you're going to put on your life. I can say, today I could still say, I'm so shy and I'm so dumb. I don't say that. I'm not shy and I'm not dumb. I'm one of the smartest people on the face of the earth, if you didn't know that. I am. I'm serious. y'all look at me like, I'm serious. Thank you. I redefined who I am. You can do that in your life. You're not who your mother, your father, or your brother said that you are. You're who God says that you are. And we have to decide who I'm going to let and what I'm going to let define who I am. This kitty's coming. I looked over my life about two or three years ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. And I took my life by decades, and I defined it. Because I wanted my lifetime up to that point defined by me and God, not anybody else. And I took 10-year increments of decades and defined who I was. In the 20s, they were my formative years. God was just forming me. In the 30s, were my intriguing years. I was just intrigued with theology. Just everything intrigued me. In my 40s, if you were here, they were my wondering years. I wondered what I believed. I wondered this and that. Just trying to really come to grips with this thing called Christianity and life. And it was good. In the 50s, those were my stabilizing years. I just took that decade and just brought such stability to me. And just, I look back over the 50s and wow, it was just so stabilizing. And now that I'm in my almost mid-60s now, it's been my most fulfilling years. I've never, all the decades of my life, been more fulfilled in ministry, in life, and just with who I am. Not for you, but for me. Because I live with me. I go to work with me. I'm with me when you're not with me. And I just got to like me. Because I spend a lot of time with me. And nobody can define you but you. And I want you to hear this because it's so true. I would couple that with nobody can define you but you and God. But I'm going to leave God out of it because he can't define you without you. He really can't. Because he's looked at people all over the world and they say they're defining themselves this way and he's disagreed. He says, that's not how I define them. And he wishes you'd get on board with him and define yourself the way he defines you. You see what I'm saying? You got to define yourself. And you will define yourself by the memories of your past, the good and the bad. And you will define yourself good if you'll choose to remember the good things in your life and see that those good things was God working you to bring you to where you are now. And the bad things were not to define you. They were to refine you and to make you a better person. Because that's how God does it. And God is never through with you. Never through with you. As long as you're breathing on this planet, he's got a purpose for you on this planet. On this planet. There's one scripture I want to leave with you. It used to be a scripture that haunted me. Because, in a bad way, because I'm such a frivolous person at times and I love the joke and carry on. And I read this scripture one time and it said that we'll give an account to God for every idle word we ever said. And I thought, oh my gosh, I hope that's not. I hope he doesn't define idle by how I talk sometimes. Idle just simply means useless, ineffective words. There's purpose in laughter. My joking and cutting up with people is not ineffective. If I get you to laugh, that's not ineffective. I'd rather see you laughing than crying. Because I don't know about you, but I've made some people cry. You ever made somebody cry? Whew, that is not good. And I've made them happy. I love making people happy. And I don't know who all this is for today. Yeah, I do. Everybody. Okay? Define yourself. Tell yourself right now how good a person you are. Tell yourself right now your past doesn't define you. It has refined you. You're who God says you are. Everybody here didn't have a great family, didn't have a great father, didn't have a great mother, maybe even. probably most of you did have a great mother. We lived in a generation where it was the fathers that were the crazy idiots. But I had a great father. All he did was encourage me. Maybe you didn't, but don't. You're not defined by even what your earthly father said. Because he said that he would be a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. He'd be whatever we needed him to be. Define yourself. Don't let anything else or anyone else define you. And I assure you that from this moment on, your life will just be tending upward and upward. I want you to stand with me. And all the time, Holy Spirit can do a work in one moment. One moment. It takes weeks and months or years for anything else to change it. So I'm asking Holy Spirit right now to do a work in you in a moment. In a moment. To help you define who you really are. Redefine who you really are. Because that's how God sees you. Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says that the accuser of the brethren was cast down. The one who accused you before God day and night. That accuser was cast down when Jesus died on the cross and ascended to the heavens. He was cast out of heaven. Your accuser has not been able to get back to the throne room and accuse you since. We accuse ourselves. He didn't have the right there. He has no right there. By our words, we are justified or we're condemned. What I say about myself is going to justify me or condemn me. Another translation is, it will either acquit you or condemn you. My words, not anybody else's. Because it doesn't matter what anybody else says about me, it's what I say about me that's going to make the difference in my life. You don't have an accuser. Is that good stuff? God is good all the time. Amen.
You may be seated as our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Make sure you get your bulletins. A lot of important information in there about Rushton Hope and volunteering and getting involved. Make sure you've marked your calendar for May 3rd for our cookout. It'll be right after service out at the pavilion. Have chicken, grilled chicken sandwiches and all the fixings that go along with that. Horseback riding for the kids and fishing. So make sure that's taking place. Pastor Buren already mentioned that this is our last Wednesday night of School of Positive Thinking. We're going to take two Wednesdays off, and then we are coming back on May 6th for what's called First Wednesdays. We will do that on May 6th and June 3rd, and that will be in here, and then it will be a full-blown worship service and personal ministry and talking. So plan on that. It's exciting. This particular service, even though all the services are open to everybody, this one is going to be a little more geared and designed for the members of the church. So if you consider yourself a member here at Eagles Way, you want to make sure that you plan to be here on First Wednesday. So that'll be May 6th. So that particular night, the youth will be doing Wow Wednesday. And And so if you're a youth age, you don't want to miss that. Let's pray and bless this offering. Band, where you at? Y'all come on. Then after we pray for the offering, we're going to ask you to stand and we will worship one last time and be dismissed with that. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. That we can worship you, that we can be encouraged, that we can be fed, that we can bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms, our gifts, our talents. Lord, and we can serve and give those. Lord, we ask, Father, Lord, you take it and you multiply it and touch people's lives in this community and around the world for your kingdom. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry, he threw us for a loop there.
Love.